to bring forth God's Word. I am thankful for the elders for the opportunity to do so. And once again, I hope that you are benefited from this. It's something I think is important in our lives. It's something that I think we can always improve on, no matter where we are. The title for this lesson is Thanklessness, but it could also be entitled Thankfulness, because that's what we should be. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think, there are oftentimes those who are not thankful. And I think that involves a lot the fact that we are oftentimes self-centered. And as we are self-centered, we tend to think that we are the ones that provide whatever we need. And we see that a lot in the world, that who needs God when all things come from us? We're the ones that work so hard to make the money, to then pay for the things that we have. So there really is no need to thank God, because we're the ones working. And so if we are self-centered and think that we are the ones that have given ourselves everything, it's hard to be thankful to God. And so a couple thoughts here as we can look. Thankfulness, first of all, is required to enter into God's gate. We can read of this in Psalm 100, which says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. To sum up what God is and why we should be thankful, that spans from the beginning of time until now, Psalms 100 still speaks to that. And so does Psalms 95, which Brother Sam read for us. But we should be entering into his courts, and this tells us why. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generation. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. God has provided for us, and so we ought to be thankful for that. Likewise, again, it is something that should be in God's presence, as was read. Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So this tells us why we should be thankful, is because of how wonderful God is. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is all his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. So once again, God has created all things. All things belong to God. So when we think, well, I've made all this money, I go and work every day, and so this is my money, and this, and all the things that I have, my house is mine. All things belong to God. And so to think that these things are ours, and we're going to take them in the life to come, is a misnomer. And many of the think about the Egyptians and others who thought that when they die, take their possessions with them, they belong to them, and they would carry them into the afterlife, which is not the case. Once we leave this earth, they're no longer ours. All things continue to belong to God. But it tells us how wonderful God is and how we should be thankful. And oftentimes, once again, we forget that. We forget about what God has done for us, or maybe not forget about it, but we don't maybe dwell on it as much as we should. And so it's easy to kind of set that aside. And because we work hard, we sometimes forget to be truly thankful for God for all that he has done. Colossians 3 verse 15 tells us that it is a Christian virtue. So going again into the New Testament to see what God also says about thankfulness. There are so many passages about thankfulness in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. Because God desires all of his people to be thankful to him for all that he has done for them. And we see in the history of the Israelites, this was not always the case. But here in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called to one body, and be thankful. This is something that as Christians that we should be doing. We should be thankful for all that we have. Again, that also, Revelation 7:12, this belongs to God. When we get to heaven, we will spend our time in thankfulness and singing praises to God. Revelation 7, verse 12. Backing up to verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. These are the things that belong to God. Our thanksgiving should belong to God. It is not of ourselves that we have these things, but it is because of God. Thankfulness, again, as we continue, should be a part of our life. We can read of this in the Old Testament. It speaks of being thankful. And if we look at, we'll go back to the book of Psalms chapter 6. In verse 4, you'll see more scriptures on the board, so feel free to take notes and take a look at those and look back on those. There's a lot of them, and we don't have time to read every single one of them, but there are so many different verses that speak to thankfulness, but we're going to jump around just a little bit. But again, if you take notes, you can go back and look at those later as you have time. Psalm 6, verse 4. Actually, it's 4 and verse 5. But return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Once we pass from this life, we can no longer be thankful to God. Everything that we do, we can't repent. There's so many things we can't help others. If we miss our opportunities on this earth to save people, to be thankful, we can't think that, well, once I get to heaven, I will be thanking God for all he's done. Well, if you don't do it now, you've lost the opportunity to do so. Yes, we will be thankful to God in heaven, and if we are there, but we cannot give up the time that we have and live our lives in being unthankful for what we have. Psalm 30, verse 12 also says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Again, there's so many psalms and proverbs that talk about thanksgiving, thankfulness, and that God deserves it. And the writers of these psalms understood that all the things that happened to them, when their enemies were round about them, but the Lord delivered them, that even though it may seem that the Lord is on, maybe not on the side, but the good things happen to those who are evil, that eventually God's judgment will come upon them, and that God has promised things for us, and that he will reward us, and that we should be thankful. And we see this in the history, in many of the great heroes of faith, in their trust in God and their thankfulness to God, and that we should also have as well. Again, looking in the New Testament, thankfulness should replace the evils of the old man. We talked about this a little bit this morning as we talked about putting off the old man, putting on the new. We cannot simply sweep the old out and not fill it with things that are righteous, because we're going to have to put our mind on something, or else that evil may creep back in. But here in Ephesians, we are reminded again that one of those things that God demands that we put on is thankfulness. Here in Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Here specifically, there are different types of sins of the tongue, you could say. Filthiness, foolish jesting, talking, foolish jesting, which are not convenient. So these things do not build up people. But thankfulness does. You know, when you're lashing out at someone and tearing someone down, that's not helping them. It's just making things worse. But rather we should be thankful to God, maybe thankful for one another, and being patient with one another, knowing that that will help build one another up. But this is an attitude that we should have, being focused on positive, trying to uplift one another and encourage and emulate Christ in our lives. He was someone who, he did get angry at times with righteous indignation, but he always sought to teach others and to show the thankfulness and desire to comfort others and help others. And again, it's the will of God for man. This is specifically said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This isn't just every now and then give thanks, but in everything give thanks. We should be thankful for all things. We talked, again, in Bible class this morning that we should be thankful when we endure trials and temptations. That seems a little bit odd. You would think that if man wrote this, again, it was inspired by God, but if man wrote the Bible, why would man say that we should be happy when we are persecuted? Wouldn't we say be happy when you're not persecuted? But here God tells us that even when we're persecuted, we should be thankful. Not because it's a difficult time, not because we're going through difficult things, but because we know that we are serving God and that the reward is worth it. So we have to really be thinking long term. And when we're thinking short term and what we're feeling now, we're down, we're depressed, we're having a difficult time, it's hard to be thankful because we're not looking to the end and we're not thinking, well, heaven is worth it, that we should still be thankful. But we're focused on our difficult times that we're having, and we may not blame God. Some people do, and maybe that's the case with us. But even if we don't outright blame God, are we being thankful for what He does for us? Or do we complain and make excuses for why we can't serve Him? Again, as we talk about thanklessness, being unthankful. Being unthankful is something that is associated with apostasy, and it is marked with those who are unholy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. As it talks about that there will be a time when those days will come. This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There really is nothing new under the sun. One can say that this accurately describes our generation, our times, but it could also have described the time of the Romans as well. There are those that were living that way as well. We can look around us and there are those who are so focused on themselves that they are angry with other people. They're more concerned about what they get out of things and don't care who they step on and who they tear down to get there. They profess that they are Christians, and so we usually have that loose term that if you go to some sort of a Christian denomination that you are a Christian, which is not the case. But they have a form of godliness. They may profess that they follow Christ, but their actions speak otherwise. Likewise, there are some in the church of Christ that are also having a form of godliness, but denying its power and not living the way that we should. But specifically, one of the things that are mentioned, so we think about all these different things. They're lovers of their own selves, they're covetousness, they're blasphemers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, high-minded. You wouldn't necessarily think that unthankful would be in the same category, but it is. The fact that they are unthankful to God for what they have. And so again, it says, from such these, turn away. We don't want to be associated with those who are unthankful, and oftentimes those who we are around will influence us. And we as Christians sometimes are around those who profess to be Christians that are constantly complaining as well. And oftentimes that will spread like a cancer, and many others will start bellyaching and complaining rather than being thankful. So why don't we, and I'm not saying that there's anyone here that's doing that, but we ought rather to be spreading good things and being thankful, looking on the better side of folks, and encouraging rather than tearing down as we seek to build others up and as we all seek to get to heaven. Again, it also belongs to the heathen. This is mentioned in Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of uncorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
This kind of reminds me of the time that they made the golden calf.
Rather than being thankful to God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, what do? They say, give us a God that we can see. So Aaron built a golden calf. So here they changed the glory of an incorruptible God to that of a creature. Thinking that they thought of themselves wise, that, oh, here we will have an image that we can look at
instead of something that is
more vague and not something that they can see. In professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed God. They were unthankful. They were not thankful for what God had done, but rather they wanted to themselves dictate how to worship God and what to do and what God wanted, rather than trying to obey. So this is not some attitude that we should have. We should not be those who are unthankful. We should be thankful for what God has done and realize that God's word has come from God,
and we should follow it.
There are some other biblical examples that we can look at. So there's that one. 10 lepers healed. We might remember the story. So what happened with the 10 lepers? We know that there were 10 that were lepers that came to be healed. And so oftentimes I feel that this accurately describes many of us, maybe not intentionally, but sometimes maybe unintentionally. It says, and it came to pass as Christ went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. I won't dig too much into this miracle, but just go show yourself. He never touched them. He never did anything that appeared to be miraculous. But there they went on their way. So in a sense, this was a test of their faith. Because as they went on their way, it doesn't tell us how far they had gone on their way. But if they were going on their way to go see the priest, and they were all of a sudden realized that they were healed. Some of them might have decided they're going to run forward and go to the priest and show that they were clean so that then they could once again be part of society since they had been cast out. But then one comes and comes back and is thankful. Rather than running to the priest first, comes back to thank Christ. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9?
So all those other 9 who might have been Jews,
who should have been followers of God, God's chosen people, but here this Samaritan, whom they despised, who were not as good as the Jews, comes back because they were thankful. Were there not 9, 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? They were not found. They returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he tells them, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. So one out of those came back. And it was the one that might have been least likely to come back.
Sometimes we see those who are sinners, and we think, well, they wouldn't be thankful.
How many times do you encounter people who should have been so-called Christians, or they profess to be followers of Christ, but they're not really thankful, and yet you may see people of the world that are thankful. So just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't make you thankful, and just because you're thankful doesn't make you a follower of Christ.
But here we see how important it was and how Jesus recognized that here was one who returned to give thanks.
How much God appreciates that thankfulness and that attitude.
Oftentimes we forget that. We get happy that something happened. Maybe we pray for something, for someone to get better, and they get better. And that's the end of our prayers. We don't go back and thank God for what happened. We quickly forget. Maybe we pray that we'll have some end to our troubles,
whatever it may be. Maybe we pray for a better job, that we can provide more, and then we get it. And then we are no longer thankful for God because now we think that we're the ones that did it.
We got ourselves better. The doctor healed us.
We got ourselves a better job because of our talents, and then we forget God. So sometimes we turn to God in the bad times, but forget him in the good times, just like the 10 lepers. They wanted him whenever they needed help, but 9 of them didn't come back once they were healed because they no longer needed Christ. There are other parables, the parable to the lost, if you look in Luke 15, and we're not going to look at each one of these, but just think about them. So the lost sheep. So remember that they were many sheep, but one was lost.
So if you have 100 sheep, but you lose one, do you not leave the 99? Those are safe. You go look for that one that got lost. And then when it returns, the angels in heaven will rejoice and be thankful for that one that has returned. Lost coin, a widow who has 10 mites, or 10 pieces of silver, she loses one. She lights a candle, she does everything she can to look for that coin. And when she finds it, she's very thankful that she has found it and rejoices. And also the lost son. Son has departed, or the prodigal son. Goes through difficult times, comes back, and is sorrowful. And the father is thankful when that son returns. Again, teaching the principle that we should be, one, happy when the souls are saved, not rather sorry, or think that, well, here's someone that's never going to really have the fortitude to continue, and they won't last, but rather to have that true thankfulness and joy when someone repents in this case. Some other examples, the unforgiving servant. Again, we're not going to read the entire passage, but if we think about the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, so the one servant owed a small sum to his master, and he couldn't repay it. And so the master calls him in and says, we're going to send you to essentially jail until you can pay. Begs for forgiveness. Master forgives him. And he goes and finds, he actually owes a large debt, and so he's forgiven this large debt that was unsurmountable that he probably would never have been able to pay. Goes out and finds someone else who owes him a small amount. I think some people say that he owed the equivalent of $1 million or more, and finds someone who owed him $20, maybe $100, and grabs him by the neck and tries to choke him, give me what you owe me, when he had just been forgiven a huge sum of money. But rather than being forgiving, so forgiveness and is tied together with thankfulness, we should be thankful for what God has done for us, and we should be willing to spread that rather than being unthankful in this case and going out and living a life that shows that how unthankful we are for what has been done for us. God has given us all things. We think back on Psalm 100, Psalm 95, that says, all things belong to God. God is a wonderful God. God is the God, King of kings, Lord of lords. All things belong to him, and yet we forget these things. The building of the temple, we can see in Ezra verses 3, verses 10 through 11, how during the building of the temple, there was thankfulness. It says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by the course in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Again, they were thankful. They were coming, they were building the temple to praise and worship the Lord. And here when the foundation was laid, they were thankful and they sang praises to God. Do we do this? Have you ever seen someone build a building and when things happen, to go out and, not saying that we have to, but have you ever thought about that? When things happen, do we sing praises and thank God, or are we just kind of, it's just part of life? And it's easy to get caught up, and it's just a part of life. Sometimes I feel like that, just life goes on, and we sometimes stop and forget to stop and think about what is actually happening and being thankful for that. When Jesus fed the 4,000, we see that before when he broke the bread and the loaves and the fishes, he gave thanks for the meal. Essentially, gave thanks for what they had. We can also see in Acts 27:35 a similar story of when they were sitting down to break bread, and Paul was thankful and gave thanks for what they had. So that is one thing we often do, is we sit down and we give thanks before we eat. That's not a requirement, but it is definitely something that is worth doing. Because God has given us things, it's a good time to stop. Sometimes I think we get into an attitude of roteness and repetition because we do it all the time and it's the same thing over and over again. But we ought to be thinking about what we should be thankful for. Not just saying the same thing over and over again. Well, what should we be thankful for? Well, we should be thankful for those things that God has given us. And we'll go and do the first two. They're tied together in one passage, essentially. In 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, this really speaks to those who were forbidding certain things, and not specifically saying be thankful for marriage, but it does tell us that we ought to be. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5,
there are some that were forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats.
So there's certain things you couldn't eat and you shouldn't marry. But this says that which things God has created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth.
So that food,
that is given for us by God so that we can be thankful when we receive it. Marriage,
why were they forbidding the marriage when God has given that for us
and to be thankful for it? And so rather, you know, taking away those things which God has given, those are things we should be thankful for. But they also should not be things that we should be condemning people for doing either. We should be thankful for
our spiritual family.
If we look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, and many of these are repeated, so we're not going to look at every single one of these because it's really almost every time that Paul especially writes a letter to saints, he tells them how he is thankful for them. How often do we tell our brethren, or tell brethren that come from other places, or write to others and say that we thank them, thank God for on their behalf? Here it says in Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. And that's repeated in Colossians 1, 3, 1 Corinthians 1, 4, Romans 1, 8, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, also in Ephesians 1, 15 through 16, a variant of that. But in each and every one of these, Paul begins his letter saying, we thank God for you and for your faith. How often do you write a letter and tell people, we thank you for your faith? Sometimes we just kind of take it for granted that faith is there, and we may or may not thank for other stuff. Hopefully we do. I know there are many that do. But oftentimes we kind of forget about that. We just kind of take it for granted that we have that faith and we're thankful for other things rather than being thankful for what truly is important. Again, and also in Romans 16, verses 3 and 4, speaking specifically, here he calls out two individuals. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my sake, for my life, laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So again, he names two individuals, but also all the churches of the Gentiles he is thankful for. So we should be thankful for our spiritual family that we have, who encourage us, who are there, who we worship with, those who may be in other places as well that encourage us. We should be thankful for their faith, and we should tell them so. One that we do hear frequently in prayers is also leaders and for peace. We are fortunate that we do have peace in this land, and we usually pray that that will continue. We know that the leaders are not always God-fearing, or they say that they are, but they aren't always enacting laws that are in accordance with God's word. And although there's nothing that promises us to have a Christian kingdom, we still would. It would be nice if there was a focus on Christ, because we would hope that that would permeate through others as well. So we pray for these things. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we should be giving thanks for all men, but also for kings and for all their authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. So these are things we often pray for, that we will have able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Here, especially in this time, there were many that were persecuted, and so this was something much more that they were probably praying for, but we are fortunate in the land that we live in that this is not normally the case, and at least not to the degree that they had it. But this is something we continue to be thankful for. We should be thankful for those things that we sacrifice. In Psalm 107, and here in the Old Testament, as we look, they had a physical sacrifice that they had. But as well, we are a living sacrifice, and we sacrifice our time, we sacrifice maybe our money, other things maybe as well. But here it says that, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We ought to be thankful for the opportunity that we have to serve God and come before God with what we have. It is so encouraging oftentimes when I've heard Christians, I know of someone in particular that has worked very hard, a spouse maybe that worked a second job. They really didn't have a lot of money. He was a preacher, but she worked part-time. And they, even though they probably could have used the money, the real reason she wanted to work was so that they would have money to give to others. And what a wonderful example that is. Something that we should be thankful for, our ability to sacrifice and that ability that we have to do things that can benefit others and can benefit our faith and others' faith as well. Speaking of that, we should be thankful for the ministering of the saints. So oftentimes when we help those saints who are in other places, we should be thankful for the opportunity that we have to do so. Oftentimes, that is also, again, when it comes down to money, oftentimes we don't want to be parted from our money, but we grumble and complain, or we you know, if I give this money, I can't do what I want to. But here we realize that by ministering to the saints and helping others, we should be thankful. And 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. So by being able to provide to others, in turn, they will be thankful to God for what he provides. And so again, you kind of permeate that those good deeds. So you kind of pay it forward in a sense. So sometimes we think about that. So by helping someone else, now they're going to be more thankful to God and their faith is going to be stronger. And so what better thing to do? We should be thankful for our faith. We can see this both in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, and also in 1 Timothy. Colossians 2, six and seven says, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So as we abound in our faith and as we continue in the good things, we should be thankful. We should be thankful for those who believe. This one seems a bit obvious as we know that their souls are precious. But how often do we really pray for thankfulness for someone's faith? Maybe some, but I dare say not as much as we probably should. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. So we should be thankful for those who believe, and I know we are, but maybe we should say it more in our prayers. We should be thankful for deliverance from evil. We can read this in many places, but we'll look specifically at 1 Corinthians 15. Again, there are many verses that talk about this, but to get the point across, we're going to kind of jump around just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57. Says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us the deliverance from evil. There's other passages also that talk about there's a way of escape. So when we are tempted, God provides a way of escape, and he will not tempt us more than we are able. But he provides a way of escape. He provides that victory over sin, and we should be thankful that we have that. Otherwise, we would be very pitiful indeed. We should be thankful for the mercy and the holiness of God in Psalms 30.
Verse 4. Sing to the Lord, O you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So again, as we looked at Psalm 100, Psalm 95, talking about the glory of God and how wonderful God is, there are so many passages, so many different psalms that talk to this. But when we are reminded of God's holiness, we should be thankful. We should be thankful for all the things that we see that are His and that remind us that He is faithful. You know, oftentimes, I've mentioned it before, that if you really want to be humbled in how thankful we really are or really aren't, is listen to the prayers of children. Their hearts are often poured out over things that we may see as insignificant, but they are thankful for it. They're maybe thankful for their stuffed animals, maybe thankful for their pets. Things that to us, that doesn't really matter. And in the end, it doesn't. But to them, it is important. And they are thankful for those things. But oftentimes, Colton's here tonight, he has prayed for people. He's prayed for those who are in sin, that they will come back to God. And I'm usually humbled and realize that those are things I should be praying for. For many months after Brother Randy passed away, he continued to pray for and thank God for his good example. And how many times have we not prayed for the good example that was set before us? Or perhaps someone does pass away, and we may pray for it once or twice, but then we forget about them. Maybe we don't truly forget about them, but we forget to bring them up in our prayers. But for months we were reminded of that we should be thankful for the good examples that were set before us. And how humbling it is for a child to be bringing up something that we should be doing as well, and realizing that we are not, and that we should be ashamed for that. And we should be doing better than that. Thankfulness and our prayers and our songs are something that we should be doing. As we look at the Pharisee and the publican, we can see the example that the Pharisee was not very thankful for what they had. In fact, they were thankful, but what was he thankful for? He was thankful that he was not a sinner like this person standing next to him. He was boasting of himself rather than being truly thankful, whereas the publican was thankful for repentance and sorrowful for being a sinner and wanting to do better. Are we praying to be puffed up? Are we praying to be seen of men? Are we praying because we are praying out from our hearts to God the Father through Christ? Our prayers should manifest thankfulness. Again, we have brought up Philippians. I'm almost kind of shocked how many times we brought up Philippians today as we've been studying this book, and how many great things are in Philippians that talk about how we should be thankful, how we should be thinking on good things. We brought it up so many times today. But here in Philippians 4, verse 6, as Brother Joseph has reminded us over and over again, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are we truly thankful for what we have? And do we bring that before God as we should? Our prayers should manifest thankfulness. Again, I think that is one thing we oftentimes forget. We pray for many things, and we may pray and thank God for the food, but there are so many things that we could be praying for that we don't. Because we're either just doing it out of repetition, we're trying to hurry and just get done so we can get on with our meal, get on with something else. Maybe we're praying for things we want, but again, oftentimes we forget to go back and thank God for what He does. It's a normal human reaction. You know, once there's bad times, you look to be saved. Look at the judges. When they were being persecuted by their enemies, they were calling out to God to save them. But then, after the leader has gone away, they forgot about God. As you look at rebuilding the wall, that there was a thankfulness when they were rebuilding that wall. We ought to be singing with thanksgiving. We can see this in the New Testament too, but as we look at Psalms 147, especially as we look at the idea of thankfulness and praising God, it really spans both the Old and New Testament. The modes and methods that they might have used are different, but God still demands the same thing and the same attitudes from His people. Psalms 147. Again, many different psalms talk about thankfulness and praising God. Psalm 147, verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp to our God. We sing spiritual songs, and we should be singing with thankfulness and with happiness. We can look at examples in the Bible. We're not going to necessarily read all these, but look at Daniel. If you remember the story of Daniel, in this particular case, what was the issue that Daniel had? If you remember why he was thrown in the lion's den, we oftentimes remember his faith. But why was he thrown in the lion's den? Because the other princes were jealous, and they wanted to find some way to entrap him. And they knew that he prayed to God every day, three times a day. And so they made the king make a decree that no one should make any supplication, which is a prayer, to anyone but the king for a certain amount of time, knowing that Daniel would be caught up in this. Maybe they thought that he would not do it, or maybe they really had the belief that Daniel would actually continue to pray. And that says a lot, too, the fact that if they're his, the enemies, if we're really not as faithful as we should, they may think that we'll just cave in. But here they knew that they would probably get him because of how steadfast he was. But we see in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 that even after the decree was signed for the punishment that they would be given, thrown in the lion's den, it says in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so he knew that there had just been a law put into place that said, if you pray to anyone else but the king, you'll be thrown into a den of lions. He went to his own house, his windows being open, not hiding. He was not hiding in any way. He was being completely open like he normally would in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. How many of us would continue to do that? Or would we change what we're doing? Would we hide in a corner to make sure that they didn't see us, or stop praying so that we wouldn't be thrown into the lion's den? Fearful for our life here, Daniel and his friends were such good examples of not being afraid but trusting in God. It's a wonderful thing. He continued to pray with thankfulness. Who could be thankful at a time when... what is he being thankful for? Thankful that he's probably going to die soon? But he continued to be thankful for God and what God had done. And surely we can be thankful. We live again in a fairly persecution-free life. We're not persecuted to the point of death, and oftentimes really the persecution we go through is not really persecution at all, in the same manner. But are we not thankful for God? We should be thankful. So I encourage you to think tonight. And continue to think throughout the week. Are you as thankful as you should? Is that reflected in your day-to-day life? Is that reflected in the prayers that you offer and your relationship with others? Something that I need to work on, and I know probably something that we all should be working on. So let us strive to be more thankful. God demands it, and that is what he expects of us. Perhaps there are some here that have not obeyed the word of God yet. Maybe you have heard. But do you believe that it is the truth, and do you believe that you have sinned, and you believe that you are in danger of eternal fire? If so, we encourage you to not wait, but repent of your sins, that you may be saved, that you may be able to come to God, that you may confess Christ as the Son of God and be baptized, that you may live faithfully. Likewise, you may be a member of the body of Christ, but you have found that yourself have lacking in certain things. Maybe it's not being thankful the way you should. Maybe it's the way you treat others. Maybe it's sin in your life. Whatever it may be, I encourage you to not waste another minute, but make corrections to your life that you may be one with God again and no longer separated by your sins. If you have any needs, we encourage you, if you need to come forward, to do so at this time as we stand and as we sing.
There's a beautiful place called heaven.